jobsinkent.co.uk.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 25th of February, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
I'm a little bit well-fed.
I saw you scoff your way through a giant box of chocolates delivered by Mr. Adrian Kearney, whose birthday it is today. So why he bought you chocolates on his birthday, I do not know.
I don't know. I think it's awfully sweet of him, don't
but
you?
But I think we ought to say a big happy birthday to Adrian of AK Pet Services. Happy birthday, mate. 21 again.
I have to say, he doesn't look a day over 21, but on my superior show, 11 to 12, I had a hound dog to play for him queued up, but I didn't get time to play it, so I'm really sorry. I'll try and play it next week.
Hey, typical Adrian, that's what you get in these substandard shows.
Well, no, I was playing vintage this morning. It didn't fit in, really. I was playing vintage.
Right.
Had a
what,
lovely...
feeling your age, dear?
No, darling.
Oh, right.
I had a lovely scone-making lady, Beverly, on, and we were scoffing her scones, and we had Matthew Kearsey Lawson, who's an award-winning jam maker and chutney.
And all-round bon vivant and very funny chap,
causes a frisson.
He does, indeed. Cool. Good. Well, we've got a really packed show for you today. We've got loads and loads of guests and loads of things to talk about. We've also got emails to read and tweets. I'm going to start off with a couple of tweets. We've had a tweet from David Shaw, and he says, "Hi, Paul, can you mention a free digital marketing training course which is starting this Friday at Fruitworks in Canterbury? If you'd like a place on it, you can email him at david@virallyapp.com. So that's david@virallyapp.com. If you'd like a place on a free digital marketing training course this Friday at Fruitworks in Canterbury, do give David a call. Lisa Settle from Telcare over there on the Medway City Estate says hi. And temporarily yours, who I don't know, but they're saying hi and they're listening in. Hello, folks.
Well, she's only your friend for a little while. Temporarily yours.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's why you don't really know
her. That's very funny, Jules.
Are you going to be like this for the whole show?
Yeah, I'm in a real curmudgeonly mood today.
I know.
I had a rotten weekend.
Were you sorting out cars and things?
I tried to sort out my son's car, yeah, which was a nuisance and all kinds of things went wrong.
So was that due to the weather again?
Yeah, the rain got in. Rain got into his car. I went to take it out for a spin just to make sure it was okay, and there was 2 inches of mould all over the inside everywhere. Took me hours to clean it out, and when I finished, the car wouldn't start anyway, so...
Not one of those weekends you want to remember.
Weekend finished. Anyway, talking about cars, Stopwatch Hospitality, the people that run lots of events at Brands Hatch, have also tweeted in. So thank you for that, guys. Keep the tweets coming. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb on the Twitter, or you can call us on 01303 874 998, but you're not going to get through today because we're really, really busy. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But today we're going to be talking, to start with, about the Marsh Million. The Marsh Million is a government-backed scheme. We'll find out who's behind it in a moment, but it's a scheme available to businesses down here in the southeast Kent, Romney Marsh, Shepway type area of business loans. And we've got with us in the studio today Mr. Mark Dance. Mark is the Kent County Council Cabinet Member for Economics and Regeneration. I always get that wrong. Is that near enough, Mark?
Yeah, afternoon, Paul. Yes, absolutely right. Economic development and regeneration, yeah.
Fabulous. You're the man with the money, basically. And all the business drive behind Kent County Council, really.
I think, just to correct you, we are the people with the money because KCC, in this particular fund, put in £400,000 and Magnox put in £500,000. So I think that is absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
And I'm sure you'll be introducing Magnox.
Magnox are here too, and they're going to tell us about their involvement in this. For the moment, just give those listeners that don't know about it an overview of what this is all about.
Well, you and I had a conversation some time ago, and you said, Mark, I think I've really got the pulse along Romney Marsh, and I think you'll be surprised of the start-up companies and the entrepreneurs on the marsh that are not on the radar.
Yeah.
So have a little think about it. and what can we do? Mm-hmm. So we got together with officers, and officers contacted Magnox, and Magnox were absolutely brilliant all the way through, because mm-hmm. they gave us a positive indication they'd be willing to put some money into the Marsh Million, which has a really nice ring about it. Mm-hmm. And the other 100,000 is split between Shetway and Ashford,
right.
which is another good thing.
Yep.
And we get everyone's involvement, and it's working.
Right.
We've now had two applications that we have agreed, and as you will introduce, we'll hear from one of the companies today, and they're involved with the facility at Dungeness, which is even better.
Absolutely. That's fabulous. And you're absolutely right. We're going to be talking to people. We're going to be talking to Haf from Magnox shortly, and also John, who's one of the recipients of one of these. Just give us a quick overview for those companies out there listening, thinking, oh, we need to find out more about this. What's the actual deal? What's on offer? What's available? And, you know, what's the parameters around it?
Well, I think if anyone was thinking about starting a business or an entrepreneur, thinking I've got to raise some cash to, before I receive my first invoice paid, so I can make the money revolve, so I can run my business. So this is around loans, interest-free, unsecured, between £2,500 and £10,000.
So it's totally targeted on what I see as the biggest need, yeah, because there are lots of very small and micro businesses that don't need huge amounts of money. They need that
cash flow.
That cash flow type money, and that's what they need, and that's what they struggle to get. Yeah, the banks will lend you £1 million if you've got a big project going on, but they won't give you an overdraft for 2,000. Yeah.
It's very much cart and horse, and I think we've got it right because it's upfront money. We get it out the door very quickly. And that then can lead on to the much bigger scheme, which is Expansion East Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Originally 35 million. Now we've got 50 plus companies doing ever so well with 20 million of the East Kent expansion money out there. We've got another 15 million to go.
Yep.
So if you're a startup, an entrepreneur, get your business growing very quickly over a shortish period of time, then you could then lead on to Expansion East Kent, which is very similar but much larger sums of money.
Absolutely.
Right up until 2.49 million.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we want to specifically talk about the Marsh Million today, but I just want to say something on that, because that East Kent Development Fund has been a massive success, hasn't it? I don't know if you've seen this, I'm sure you have, but in the last week or so, there's been a lot of national interest in Canterbury and East Kent, and it's now being touted as the new Silicon Valley.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and people are saying, do you know how many startup businesses there are in that area, and how many digital and new technology businesses there are? And there are lots and lots and lots.
I was at level 39 last week, Canary Wharf, One Canada Square, and we had all the people from Tech City, all the people who run level 39, and we were selling East Kent, and it's connectivity.
Absolutely.
That's what it's about. Yeah. People can get here, they can get back to London, they can have a lovely life down here.
Absolutely.
Great schools, great beaches.
Yeah.
What more?
Absolutely. And now just 35 minutes from London.
Yeah.
And that's made a big difference. And of course, Canterbury and that whole East Kent area, because of the three universities are there, you get a lot of spin outs from that as well. So no, the whole thing's working. But we're here to talk more about the Marsh Million. But hopefully, you know, this can kickstart what's going on down here on the Marsh, you know, which isn't as populous as the rest of East Kent. But even so, there's a lot of stuff happening here. And for many, many years, it's relied on its tourist industry as its only real main form of industry, you know, apart from Dungeness, of course, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But there is, again, lots of creative businesses starting to spring up here. And this is the discussion we had some time ago. So I tell you what, let's now talk to Haf Morris, who's from Magnox. Haf, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. But tell us, just for those that don't know, just give us a bit of an overview of Magnox and what you do, and then we'll talk more about your involvement in the Marsh Million.
Hello. Right, okay, if we look at Magnox as a total, it's we used to run power stations, nuclear power stations. There's two here at Dungeness, Dungeness A, which I'm part of, and Dungeness B, which is EDF owned. And our business was running nuclear power stations. Now we're into decommissioning.
Right.
We've got one operational up in North Wales in Wilver, and now we're just into decommissioning as safely and as economically as we can.
Sure.
Part of that is looking at sort of stepping back or coming out of the community, which we've been a big part of over 40, 50 years.
Absolutely, yeah. In 1962, I think, Dungeness A opened, wasn't it? Something
yes.
like that, yeah.
Yeah. And now we want to, it's part of the Energy Act as well, that there is an onus by on the NDA, Nuclear Decommissioning Authority, who own all the nuclear power stations, the Magnox ones, to take care of the communities as best they can and not just sort of leave them, you know, dead in the water.
Absolutely,
basically.
Yeah.
So part of the plan is to do some investment locally. Mm. If we can, and part of this, or the big part now, is the Marsh Million.
Okay.
So.
Absolutely. So your organisation has very generously provided £500,000,
yes,
£500,000 into that fund, to do just that, to try and regenerate the marsh and to kind of take up some of the shortfall in the fact that as we decommission those nuclear power stations and employment in those fields starts to drop off. Yeah.
Yes, we did a socioeconomic impact assessment,
right.
And then from that there was a socioeconomic plan drawn up
right.
In 2011 mm-hmm. with Shepway District Council, and then from that we actually formed a Romney Marsh Partnership Group,
okay.
which is made up of Kent County Council representatives, Shepway representatives, parish councils, Chamber of Commerce,
right.
site stakeholder group. There's about 15 right. or so people, and you know, the Marsh Academy and training providers as well. And it's just looking at what was needed and what came out of that action plan and the assessment, and where we could go from there. And the Marsh Million appeared, but also coupled with that, we've actually put a total of, I totted it up just before we I came over, and we put about 730,000 into the community in the last 12 months.
Really?
And to complement the Marsh Million, we've actually put in nearly 100,000 for the incubation units in the Romney Resource Centre, and they're going to be operational
right.
shortly, and that will complement nicely these new businesses coming out of the Marsh Million.
Fabulous.
So if they want somewhere to go, that'll be the place. And they'll not just have a desk and all that. They'll have business support as well, you know, in getting their finances, the business plans, all of those put together, and that support to get them on their feet, ready to move on to the next stage of the business.
Now, that's really interesting, because I didn't know that. I know the Romney Resource Centre, and we have lots of talks with them about the things we're doing here, because for those that don't know, Channel Radio, this august organisation which we are broadcasting from at the moment, is also based on the Marsh, and we're based in Burmarsh, just around the corner from New Romney, and we've talked a lot to the Romney Resource Centre. I wasn't aware that you guys have been backing and supporting them, so that's cool. It's good that all of that's starting to come together and starting to happen. I don't want to put you on the spot, because we didn't discuss this, but I'm fascinated by it. You were talking about how you guys looked at the economic impact of what was going on. Are there any headline numbers that came out of that, you know, in terms of what the overall impact is going to be of it shutting down, and where you trying to get things to go?
Oh, I'd have to look
that
up.
I know I put you on the spot with that, and it's not fair. But
I'd have to look that up. But it is going to be, you know, quite an impact. But, I mean, the good news is we've got B-Site next door, and they put their, or they're in the process of putting an application in to get a life extension.
Yeah.
So we'll know a bit more about that at the end of the year.
Do you know when they're currently due to close down?
I think it's 2023, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. But they're trying to get an extension to that, aren't they?
And they have to plan ahead, because
they
probably have to put things in place to get them that extension. So they have to sort of get the okay now and put things in place to get that, and, you know, forward planning for it. So that'd be good news. But it's just looking at what new businesses there are out there, and people who've just got ideas.
Mm.
And like Mark was saying, you know, that this money's there. If you've got a sound idea, this is a foot up and support. And you couple that with incubation units that are going to be live very shortly.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got that.
Absolutely. I couldn't emphasise this more. I own a number of businesses, but I also operate as a business angel. And I get lots of investment opportunities in startup businesses. And the vast majority of them don't actually need an awful lot in order to succeed. They just need to get up and running. Mm-hmm. And it's those two very things that you mentioned, Haf, which are absolutely crucial. Premises to work out of that they can actually afford when they start, you know, because when you open a business, you've got nothing, you know, so trying to rent premises and pay rates and all that kind of stuff is a massive part of your overhead. So that's the first problem. And then cash flow is the second problem. So the kind of things that the Marsh Million are offering are absolutely perfect on both sides, and the things that Magnots are doing are perfect on both sides of that. You've got the resource centre that can help with premises and mentoring and stuff like that, and the Marsh Million that can help with some small amounts of much needed capital to get you up and running. And it's unsecured, nil interest. And you can't say fairer than that, really, can you? You can't get much easier than that, really. I don't know many banks that do that. So it's good stuff. So from a corporate point of view, have you got a timeline that you guys are going to be here, or is that, are you here for the duration, or, you know, how does that work?
At the moment, we're going to be cutting right down on staff by 2019.
Right.
We're in care maintenance preparations at the moment.
Right. How many staff do you have at the moment?
We've got about 250.
Right, okay.
Something like that, plus contractors on site. So by 2019, the current plan is that interim care and maintenance will kick in. So we'll have a quiescent period for about 5 or so years. And then we'll pick up again, finish off the care and maintenance preparations. And then by 2025-ish, something like that, we'll go into a quiet period for about 80 years before we go to final site clearance. I won't be coming back, but somebody will be coming back.
It's a bit of long-term planning goes into this kind of thing, isn't there?
Exactly. We've got a little bit of lead-in time for Dungeness, which is good. And hopefully what we've started to put in place now, coupled with the support from Kent County Council, Shepway, and the parish councils and everything, we can develop this and get it up and running. And get a throughput and get people on the first step.
Yep.
And then obviously there are other opportunities and support available.
Yep.
If, you know, those companies are successful and they want to expand further, there is that support.
Absolutely.
There. So yeah. Fingers crossed.
And it's one of those interesting things. Once you start to develop that kind of environment, that kind of culture in a place, it becomes self-fulfilling. Because as the first tranche of businesses start to succeed, it attracts other businesses into the area who go, well, look, they did it.
Yeah.
They succeeded.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, without being rude to Romney Marsh, I'm based here, at the moment, it is still quite a cheap area to do business. If you look at the county overall, you know, if you look at Kent as a county and the west of Kent, which is incredibly expensive, and even Canterbury, where I have businesses, is now quite expensive in terms of premises and things like that. Mm. Whereas down here in the Shetway district, it's not quite so much because there isn't so much competition.
No.
That will start to take off, obviously, but it's actually a great place to start a business.
And then you get a whole community once it starts
exactly,
to take off.
You know, and that, even where we are here in this little area where the radio station is on Hagland's Farm.
With the alpacas.
With the alpacas and a few other people. You know, there's expansion plans going on here, and they've been rebuilding in the last couple of months here and changing the units, and they have plans approved to add more units here.
Mm.
And they've got businesses waiting to come in. So it is starting to gradually take off. So it's a self-reinforcing thing, kick-started by you lovely folks at Magnox and Kent County Council.
And I think also what's really good about this, that it is specifically for the Marsh.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not for the wider Kent. So between us, we've recognised the need in the Marsh for that kick-start support. And it's quite a specific area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we know how many miles the area is?
On the website, there is a map. Quite specifically.
It all depends if it rained or not, because a lot of it's underwater most of the time at the moment.
So is this on the...
I saw some sheep swimming the other day.
And the alpacas swimming.
Yeah, they love the
water.
They
do. And as we know, the loo was flooding, wasn't it? We thought we had an alligator coming up there last
week. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We all got a bit... all get a bit nasty out here.
Haf, can we see the map on the Kent Gov? one or your website, do you mean?
I think it'll be on the Marsh Million.
It's on the Marsh Million website, and there is a link to the Marsh Million website on the Kent Business Radio website. If you go to the front page, well, there's a link to the Marsh Million. That will take you through to the KCC page. As Haf says, there's maps on there that show you everything. It also tells you the process for how you go about applying for this and all the things that go around it. It's very informative. Do go and have a look. It is already on the homepage of the Kent Business Radio website.
Fabulous.
And also, it will stay on the radio website
for at least the next 80 years.
At least it has a half life all of its own. See, that's a technical term. That
it's been purified.
Yeah, I was saying to Haf actually, bizarrely, many, many years ago, I did have a brush with the nuclear industry.
I can tell from your haircut.
Yeah, exactly. And my webbed feet. Yeah, no, it didn't work like that. I actually worked for a company called Combustion Engineering, who are an American company that were involved in Three Mile Island, would you believe?
Wow.
In the mid-70s.
What is Three Mile Island? I don't even know. I'm probably
It was a nuclear reactor where they had a little bit of an accident.
Okay.
I think it was the first one, wasn't it? And just to show you, there was a lot of controversy at the time because it was an operator error as well. And the total damage in terms of fatalities was one bloke with a broken arm.
Is that all?
And that was all. But you wouldn't have believed it if you'd read the press at the time. Everybody went into, sorry to use the term, meltdown. And they went really mad. But in fact, the total damage was a bloke with a broken arm. And he was the operator that made the mistake of dropping the core. And he broke his arm trying to stop. You know, it was a big lever job, and he accidentally pulled the lever to drop the core, realised what he'd done, tried to stop it and broke his arm, and that was it. But, yeah.
And Haf, I've seen Paul Andrews internally combust. It's not a pretty sight.
Yeah. Happens on a very far too frequent basis these days, I'm afraid.
What about the staff, though, that are losing jobs? Is there any help for them, or are you sort of looking at helping them to retrain, or what's happening?
We've managed to retrain quite a few on site from operators, and they're now site engineers involved with the project aspect of decommissioning. So that's quite a good thing. We've also managed to get some people onto B site, but opportunities there, so they take the skills that they have, and they're just upgraded, if you like, to what EDF need, for because it's a different type of power station. So we've managed to get people going on that. Some people have left and have started businesses, one or two, and some people have gone to other sites. But there is support there. We bring companies in to support them to either retrain if they want, or you know, just help them with stepping out.
Excellent.
No, fabulous stuff. Well, I think, do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to John.
Yes.
And John from Paintball Domination, based here at Hagland's Farm, as one of the early recipients of some loot from this scheme. Hello, John. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Good afternoon.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here, although we see you on a regular basis because you walk past every day.
I do.
And we go, hello, John. All right, mate. So it's interesting. Tell us a little bit about what you do, what your business is, and then give us a little bit of an idea of how you came across the Marsh Million, what your thought process was in applying for it, and how you found the whole process.
Okay, we arrived at Hagland's about 2 years ago, and we kind of opened up the paintball for sort of friends and family and stuff, and just sort of had a bit of a laugh, really. And over the past couple of years, it's sort of grown. You know, people have come to us. Because we do it quite cheap, we do sort of £5/100. It's an urban site. It's different to, you know, your normal woodland that you get.
Yeah.
And because we get involved as well, we make it so much fun, and the word spread. So we put it on Facebook, we've done a Facebook page, and we do little things like, you know, we take pictures of their day, make albums. It just grew.
Right. It's really interesting as well, being shot by someone riding an alpaca as well.
Oh, it's a great laugh. Yes. It's a great laugh. I haven't shot an alpaca yet, though. so it just grew, and we kind of got to the stage where we're thinking it would be nice if we could get a bit of funding to sort of go to the next level, you know, take it that a little bit further.
What was the everything. Next level?
Well, for us, it's for upgrading. I mean,
tanks and planes.
But it's just to upgrade the paintball markers and to make the zones better. You know, we want to go more urban. We want to have a lot more building things on there and, you know, just a lot more things like that. And it was just to upgrade the whole system, everything that we do, because we can see that it works, you know, and people really enjoy it. It's a cheap day out for people.
Absolutely.
Especially as we have a turn up and play, you know, there's not a lot of sites do that, but you can just turn up, you can do an hour, you can do all day. It's up to you what you do. And it just works. And so we decided, you know, it'd be nice if we could go for funding. We sort of looked at the banks and stuff. And then we come across the Marsh Millions. And we sort of looked into that. We asked a few questions. And then we just sort of went through the application process.
Okay. I want to ask you a little bit about that. And I'm kind of taking my life in my hands here because I don't know. But how was how did you find the process? You know, what are your thoughts on that? Because a lot of people, when faced with it, Mark's got his fingers crossed like nothing. But one of the feedbacks you get, not just from Marsh Million, but all kinds of public sector support things, a lot of businesses go, oh, I could really do with that, but I bet it's a real pain to do it. And then they don't bother to apply because they think it's going to be a lot of hurdles. So the interesting thing, and one of the main reasons for talking to you guys, apart from the fact we love you and you're gorgeous and all the rest of it.
But it's,
you know, you are a small organisation, a very small organisation, so you don't have lots of resources to do this. So it's interesting that you've done it, you've succeeded, and it'll be nice to know what your feedback on the process was.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right about the hurdles. What we found for us, it was to sit down and think about it. Sit down, look at the application or the pre-application, think about what you're writing and what you're doing. And don't give up, you know. It's so easy to give up on things, you know. You look at something, well, I don't know the answer to that, I'm just going to leave it.
It's like any form, isn't it? You're faced with a form to do something, and you think, I don't know the answer, I'm not going to fill the form out.
It's thinking about it and then having the patience to wait. You know, sometimes, you know, you get forms that are filled out and you think, well, I want it done now, but it doesn't. Everything takes a bit of time. Just have a bit of patience. Think about what you're doing, you know, and have a good idea, you know, or just, you know, just write it down so people can understand what you're doing. I think that works. It worked for us.
Well, it clearly did because you got
exactly,
the loot.
Exactly. And it's paintball as well. It's different. And you know, we was surprised. You know, we got through, and we was over the moon when we got it. Obviously,
right. Absolutely.
But it's just all about taking your time, just sitting there thinking about what you're doing, and then just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle.
Okay, we're at www.dominationpaintball.co.uk and we're Domination Paint on Twitter.
Absolutely, fabulous. John, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to hear about it. Mark, I think you wanted to jump in and have a quick word there. Feel free.
He's clinging. Poor Mark's been clinging on for the whole show onto half a puff.
Yeah.
Rephrase that, please, Jules. I think the form is one thing, and it's something we learnt on Expansion East Kent. And then it's not just a bunch of forms.
Mm.
It's actually having people in front of you discussing it. Yeah. So the form is a starter for 10.
Yeah.
We're getting out the way. We know what the business plan is. But we really want to hear how enthusiastic people are in making a success of themselves.
Yeah.
If we can see that drive and that enthusiasm, but the paperwork's not quite there, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get there anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a really important point. That's all I wanted to say.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And on a completely different note, I'm just going through the process of doing something for the radio station to expand here, and that required a load of form filling as well. And it wasn't a public sector thing, well, kind of half a public sector-y thing. It was an Ofcom thing. And there were loads of forms, and I started to look at it, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I really can't be bothered to go all the way through this. But then you start to think, well, hold on a minute. These forms were put together as a general template, yeah? The reason that a lot of it doesn't work is because it doesn't fit how I'm thinking about it at the moment. So, I totally agree with what John said, is to not be put off by that. They've written the forms with a particular thing in mind, but I'm doing something radically different here, and they haven't written the form to cope with that. So, just by filling it in and saying, actually, we don't do that, we do this. And when I sent the first pre-thing back, they came back and said, really? You really do that? And we went, yeah. And they went, we haven't got a part for that on our form. I went, no, I know. And they went, but you really do that? And I went, yeah, we do. And they went, blimey, that's interesting. So it just shows you, you know, that you don't need to get fazed by this. And, you know, as Mark said, it's about the passion and enthusiasm and the actual plans that you've got, because nothing's, you know, uniform, is it? There's lots of different things that happen. Cool. John, thank you so much for joining us on Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. And also a big thank you to Haf Morris of Magnox, and Mark Dance of Kent County Council. We're going to be talking more in future weeks about business funding that's available via various schemes in different parts of Kent. But for the moment, if you're running a small or micro business or thinking of starting a business down here on the marsh in the Shetway area, and there's also some money available in Ashford, I believe. Is that right?
No, Ashford is part of the scheme.
Right.
Because the scheme travels further across the south coast than just Shetway. So it encompasses all the areas that are hard to connect and do need that help and support.
Okay.
I was just thinking that Ashford must be the hub for the transport to get down here, yeah?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
There's a series of links we're working on with an amount of money on the Marsh Million, looking at how we can improve that connectivity on a regular and relevant bus, train, whatever mode of transport from here to Ashford, because Ashford's the growth area. Mm. And then what can we do to get people from all areas of the Marsh to a hub where that transport is available?
Yeah. Mm. Although it's not actually too bad here. You know, people look at a map and think it's quite difficult.
But you don't have the traffic here, that's why.
But not only that, the motorway is just up there.
Yeah.
You know, if you come by car, you can jump off the motorway at Junction 10 and you're here. But you've also got a high-speed rail link to Ashford, which is only 8 miles away. So it's actually not as bad as it looks. And funnily enough, because we have quite a few famous people on the Channel Radio, 1980s rock gods and things like that, they always go, they all say two things.
They love coming here.
Yeah, blimey, how'd you get there? And two, I used to come there as a kid. Yeah. Is the Romney Marsh and Dimchurch Railway still operating? And you go, yeah. And they go, can I get a train to the studio? Yeah, you can, because it comes right past the door.
Yeah, we've had Steve Harley, haven't we?
Yeah, lots of
rock gods.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, for the moment, thank you so much to you guys. Once again, Haf Morris from Magnox, John from Paintball Domination, Mark Dance from KCC. Thank you. That's absolutely brilliant. And we will be talking more about this in the future. If you want to find out any more about the Marsh Million, go to the Kent Business Radio website, click on the link to the Marsh Million website, and everything is on there.
That's www.kent.gov.uk.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Thank you. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage.
Is it Common People?
Now, you were looking over my shoulder while I did this, weren't
you? I just love this song.
Do you?
Yeah.
Bit of Jarvis.
Yeah, because you are common, of course.
Yeah, of course I am, yeah.
Sculpture at St. Martin's College, that's where I caught her eye. She told me that her tap was loaded. I said, in that case, I'm a room with Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And then in 30 seconds time, she said, I wanna live like common people. I wanna do whatever common people do. Wanna sleep with common people. I wanna sleep with common people like you. What else could I do? I said, oh, I'll see what I can do. I took her to a supermarket. I don't know why, but I had to start it somewhere. So it started there. I said, pretend you got no money. And she just laughed and said, oh, you're so funny. I said, yeah. I can't see anyone else smiling. Are you sure? You wanna live like common people. You wanna see whatever common people see. Wanna sleep with common people. You wanna sleep with common people like me. But she didn't understand. And she just smiled and held my hand. I went to the flagship of the shop. I cut your hair and get a job. I smoked some packs and played some pool. Pretend you never went to school. Still you never get it right. It's when you're laid in bed at night. Everybody hates a tourist, especially one who thinks it's all such a laugh. Yeah, and the chipsticks and grease will come out in the bath. We will never understand.
Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Julesy's theme tune there because she's dead common.
Yeah, I
common
am.
Common people.
I am. I went to a comprehensive, you know, rough one.
Did you? In Essex,
in
wasn't
Essex,
it?
In Essex, yeah, very rough.
Yeah. Cool. It yeah. shows as well, doesn't it? Love?
Left at 14, darling, as
did
well.
Did you? Mm. Yeah.
No hope.
Yeah. Hey, what's I've that, 2 o'clock?
What?
2 o'clock, 1400, 2 o'clock.
Well, I've had a new follower, Paul.
Really?
It's
That's
Doug.
The first.
It's Doug.
Is it an accident?
No, no. And it's Folknall Doug. F-O-L-K-N-A-L-E, Doug. Folknall Doug. I think he's a folk man. Oh, he is.
It's not a technically teabag dance or something, is it?
The Sandwich Folknall Festival is my free folk music festival. Tweet me your thoughts and I'll get Neil to reply. And that he's too folked up to bother. Love it. Sandwich Kent. There's a Facebook. Facebook.com/Sandwich Folknall. A-L.
Oh, good. Fine. Whatever.
Well, I'm going to follow him.
Do you know, we've got a busy show today. Do keep your tweets coming and I will get round to reading them. Just very quickly, John Austin Brooks of SalesHelp _ VR has said, happy birthday to Adrian Kearney, which we did earlier, and he's listening to the show. So, John, thank you for that and the birthday wishes for our Adrian.
Yes.
And also Lucy Hall of Inside Maidstone. She says, we have a Creative Maidstone meetup. At Below 65 Gallery, which is in Maidstone High Street, with an amazing guest speaker. And that is taking place on the 10th of March at 5:30 in the evening.
Who is the guest speaker?
Me.
I knew that.
Sorry. I wasn't going to say anything. Anyway, enough of that.
They
so thank you, Lucy, and we're looking forward to that.
They
That'll
have
be
a
fun.
Cracking food column in that Maidstone magazine.
They do.
Magazine.
They do indeed. And who writes that?
Oh, the Scoff and Quaff Show.
Oh, that'll be you. Yeah. Right, okay. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the bunker Anna Daniels. Anna, thank you so much for coming in today. And I know you had a little bit of trouble getting here with the traffic out there, but it's an absolute pleasure to see you. Thank you for joining us and welcome back to the bunker.
Thank you very much. It's always lovely to be back here. And yeah, it was an interesting journey, but I got here.
Absolutely. So safe and sound. And that's the main thing. Why don't you tell the listeners that don't know, and there can't be many out there now, but tell the listeners a little bit about you and what you do and about Daniels Fitness and some of the things you get up to, because you do some very interesting things, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Well, for the last 25, going on 25, 26 years now. I've run the Daniels.
She's not old enough, is she, listener?
No, she's not old enough. She's not.
She started age three.
Kind.
Yeah.
You're too kind. Do you know, I had a career before that as well, so that's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Do you know, and I saw you as well in your career.
Did you?
Yeah, because you were in a bit of Starlight Express, weren't you?
Yeah.
And I saw that.
On roller skates.
Yeah,
on
absolutely.
Roller skates. In fact, that was the reason I ended up in the business I'm in now, because I wrecked my back.
Right, okay.
Literally.
Really? I'm not surprised. So, yeah. I mean, because that's hard work, that.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic to do that, and at a young age, you know, to come straight from stage school and to audition and go into Starlight Express. I spent 2 years there in the West End, but unfortunately, it really did take its toll on my back. Mm. And it's actually because of that and the injury that I had from that that led me into the career that I'm doing now, which is health and well-being. So I trained as a fitness instructor, I trained as a personal trainer, I went on to become a presenter and master trainer, and helped others to go into the fitness industry. But my love and passion for helping others with their health and well-being really won me back, and having spent a couple of years of training people to be trainers, I decided that what I really wanted to do is to help people.
Absolutely.
To just really get the most out of their lives. And, you know, I always say being healthy for me is being happy. And, you know, I just think it's so important that we all get to enjoy our lives. We only have one life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we should live it to the full.
Absolutely. Until we need Andy, who we're
going
to talk to later.
That. Yeah. I'll let you explain that.
Yeah, one, yeah, we'll come to that later.
But we only have one life, and I think live it to the full, and you know, that's really important for each and every one of us. So my helping other people has led me from helping other individuals as a fitness instructor, as a personal trainer, running a personal training agency, and then moving into the area of corporate fitness and health.
Right.
Now, over the 25 years, that's something that's really changed, because when I first came in, it was Jane Fonda days, it was go for the burn. Nowadays, you know, our health and well-being is taken a lot more seriously.
Sure.
And one of the major problems that we see, no matter what the size of business, whether you're an individual running your own business or whether you're within a large organisation, is the cost of ill health.
Yep.
Absenteeism is costing businesses an absolute fortune on a yearly basis.
Hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds a year.
Absolutely. And so is sort of musculoskeletal injuries. Now, they can happen from having had perhaps a road accident, playing sport.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it could be a work-based problem, something that happens because of your work.
Sure.
But whatever it is, there are ways around it, and there are people to help you. So from a corporate fitness point of view, we've worked with large organisations, and I know that's something you want me to talk about.
I do, yeah, because I think it's dead cool.
We're very lucky to have a contract with Mercedes Petronas, with the Formula One lot, and we provide the gym facilities for them, for all their employees who are up at their headquarters in Brackley near Silverstone.
Yeah, Leicestershire, yeah.
Yeah, and just about 9 miles from Silverstone, actually. So we run their fantastic gym facilities up there at the headquarters. We look after the health and well-being of all their employees, and we help with a strategy throughout the company. And we also help with the training for the race team. So it's very exciting. I know it's cars are a passion of yours, Paul.
They are indeed, yeah.
If only you could still climb out of them.
Yeah, thank you.
There's a story there.
Yeah.
Or in.
No, it's interesting talking about racing, and I know you do work with all of their staff in all of the fields, but one of the things that people don't always think about with motor racing is just how fit you need to be as a driver. The g-forces on a on a Formula One driver are comparable to a jet fighter, and you need to be really, really, really fit. And the upper body strength of a lot of those guys is unbelievable. because of the type of thing that they do.
Do you know, you're absolutely right. And the trainers who look after those drivers are phenomenal. I would love to say I am one of them. Unfortunately, we're not. And our contract is not for the drivers.
But that's very specialist stuff as well, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's incredible. And just, you know, being part of the background at Mercedes and the race team, you know, there's a large group of people that travel with them all the way around the world. And their jobs are very specific. When they're not working in the factory, they're very active. And so the job that we have there has obviously got some very, very specific outcomes and needs. But actually, at the heart of it all is a company with a very, very specific objective, but it's about keeping each and every individual that works for the company fit and active for work. You know, we work with other large corporations, and that's great. They can all have in-house gym facilities and everything else. But, you know, for a lot of us, that's not possible.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, for a lot of the listeners here and a lot of people that I meet on a daily basis are saying, well, that's great. That's fantastic. You're doing that. But what about us? What can you do for us? So what we've done over the years is we've spent a lot of time to develop ways and means that we can now go out to medium, smaller size companies and offer. And the good news is this doesn't have to cost.
All right. That sounds good. It sounds good. Tell us more.
Because, okay, because I think, you know, one of the big problems is budget. Whenever you're talking to businesses, they say, well, you know, that's great, but we don't have a budget set aside for health and well-being. The problem is that every company knows that there is a cost for people that are absent and people that are unwell. And there's several ways that we've been able to build help. Now, it's great that we can be a lot more interactive now. And the fact that we're looking right now as we're on the show at all the tweets coming in, at Facebook, and there's a lot of software out there that can help everybody to analyze statistics and to be able to move forward. So there's lots of things that we can do. And the good news for you, hopefully for your listeners, is that over the next month, I want to get out to as many offices as possible across this area of the east of England, as it were, and spend time with those companies free of charge. I'm offering an hour at each company. Lunchtimes. And what I want to do is to get out there and to explain to all of your listeners how they can help themselves to feel fitter and healthier at work. And we're going further, because what we're doing is we want to challenge your companies to be fitter and healthier.
Wow. This sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a little break for some tunage, and then we're going to get a colleague of yours on the phone.
Fantastic.
And then we'll come back to you after that.
Brilliant.
So there's a challenge. So while you're listening to a bit of Blur, think about the challenge that Anna's just set you and for your company.
I've got a lot of money. Caught in a rat race, terminally. I'm a professional cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit. Caught up in a centuries of anxiety. Yes, it preys on him. It's a man. Lives in a house, very big house in the country. Watching after me repeats and the food he eats in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up analyst bills in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going jack and jolly. In touch with his own mortality. He's reading balls and looking bad boys. It's a helping hand that makes you feel good as you're blind. Oh, it's a century's remedy. But the things that haunt start to simple. Lives in a house, a very big house in the country. He's got a fog in his chest.
and piles of banana spells in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country.
Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on this Tuesday, the 25th of February. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the delightfully, stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. I now have on the telephone Lara Zimmern. Hello, Lara.
Hello there, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. And we were talking, as you probably heard, on air to Anna Daniels just before you came on. And you're a colleague that's going to be working with Anna. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're into and what you're doing and what your part of this is?
Fantastic. Well, it's lovely to be joining you on the Business Bunker show this afternoon. Yes, Anna and I are working on a very, very exciting project at the moment. We are working on something called Project 10 Challenge, and it is our job to go out and challenge people in the workplace to either lose 10 pounds or to gain 10 pounds of lean muscle through something called Project 10. Now,
sorry to interrupt there. Let me make sure I got this right. So we can lose 10 pounds or gain 10 pounds.
Yes.
I'm really good at gaining 10 pounds, me.
But it's got to be in muscle.
Ah, right, okay.
So we've got to get you ripped if that's the case. Yes, I mean, the idea is that we're challenging people to really just take that first step onto the route of being healthier. And with people who have a weight loss goal, we start with the first 10 pounds. You know, for many people, for a man, that might be just one notch on the belt size. And for a woman, it's dropping a dress size. And it's the difference between being engaged, being excited, and continuing on the path to getting healthier.
Fabulous. That's fabulous stuff. And as it happens, it just so happens that I've lost a little bit of weight myself
recently. You've done very well.
Yeah. And I can attest what a difference that makes to your lifestyle and how you do things and all kinds of things. It really is beneficial once you do that. So what is it that people need to do, Laura? I mean, you know, give us some insights in, you know, what you're going to do to us when you get your hands on us kind of thing.
Well, first of all, we just start with 10 pounds purely because it's something that is it's achievable. Also, you know, for anybody, regardless of their physical well-being, whether it's somebody who has more than 10 pounds to lose or not, just dropping that 10 pounds actually helps somebody reduce their risk of heart disease by 30%. So, you know, it's a really key number to get people to. And also, if they do have a big weight loss goal, you know, breaking it down to 10 pounds at a time gives you reason to stop, celebrate, and move on to the next goal. So depending on what somebody's goal is, we will help them select a challenge kit that's going to support that goal. We're big advocates of eating healthily and looking after yourself, but we're also aware people live busy lifestyles. I mean, I know I've spent 10 years working in the yoga industry, and I affectionately am nicknamed a twig and berry, somebody who eats very, very healthily, but I don't always get the time to eat what I need to eat. So we offer meal replacement shakes that are completely nutritionally balanced and will aid somebody on their route to losing that weight. So depending on someone's goal, we'll put them on one or two healthy meal replacements a day, and then we'll also advise them on a very, very healthy meal plan you know, for those who want to get exercising, not everybody wants to get into the gym straight away. Sometimes they need to see the 10 pounds or maybe the 20 pounds drop off before they engage in the
physical side. You are absolutely right about that. I can totally agree with that. You know, you do not want to wear Lycra when you've decided that you're overweight and you need to do something about it. The last thing you need is for people to go and go, yeah, you really do need that. So losing that bit of weight to start with gives you the incentive to then go and do the stuff that enables you to carry on doing that. I totally agree.
And yeah, and if I can just interject it's very interesting. As a personal trainer, I'm almost putting myself out of work here, but it comes down to nutrition, nutrition, nutrition. Nutrition is 80% what we need in order to help us lose weight. Then comes the exercise after that. And not everyone wants to get in their Lycra pool, as you've identified.
Absolutely.
Not everyone wants to get in the gym. So, you know, by challenging people, we can go along to the workplace and present this challenge to them. We can assess all other areas within their workforce that need looking at and help, and we can really start to make a difference to how people are feeling about their health.
Absolutely. It's interesting, from my point of view, someone that's just kind of been through this journey, and me and Jim's just don't get on, but the interesting thing is, having lost a lot of weight, and I'm glad I'm going to live forever, apparently, because what was it, 30% for £10, did you say,
yeah,
Laura?
That's right.
Well, I've just lost 5 stone, which means I'm going to be 220.
That means you can sort out the Dungeness station.
Exactly. But the interesting thing is, you know, having lost weight through not eating, basically, for 6 months, the fact is, at some point, you want to start eating again, but you want to eat healthily, but that's where exercise really comes in, because you can actually start to get your intake back up a little bit as long as you're exercising to keep it off. So absolutely, I totally get that.
Absolutely. I mean, exercise is a key part of it, and actually, you know, just in complete layman's terms, for every pound of muscle we have, we burn about 50 calories, and for every pound of fat we have, we burn about 5 calories. So, you know, actual muscle, production of muscle is really key in weight loss, and that's where diets that create the body to lose fat and muscle are where you see people who do diet successfully, but then when they go back onto normal eating, that their weight just gains because they haven't got the muscle there to continue to burn the calories. So exercise at some stage is really, really important, but really getting the weight down initially is key as well. And it's all about, I always talk to people about, it's helping people feel better about themselves.
Absolutely,
You know, when people feel better about themselves, and hearing your story, I spoke to a gentleman this morning, similar story. He's now doing things that he would never have engaged in a year earlier, because he's been on the challenge, and it's prompting him to get out there and do stuff.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. That's absolutely true. And it's a self-reinforcing positive cycle, isn't it? Once you lose a bit of weight, it encourages you to lose more. It encourages you to feel better about exercising or getting out there and playing a game of tennis or whatever. Mm. Things that you wouldn't have done when you felt blobby and just miserable.
Exactly.
So, no, I totally agree.
And also in the workplace, you know, we spend more time, more of our waking hours in the workplace with our work colleagues, you know, in nowadays, more often than not, in quite sedentary positions. So when you bring it in the workplace, you create sociability around what you're doing, and when you have that sociability, you create accountability and support amongst each other. So that's where we're very excited with working with businesses in the Kent area, so we can, you know, mobilize groups of people to get healthier together, and everyone's going to have different goals, but they can do it together, which is exciting.
Absolutely. Laura, we could talk about this forever, but for the moment, thank you very much for joining us on the Business Bunker. Is there a website or anything that people can look at to find out more about all of this?
Yes, if they go to annadaniels1.myvi.net, then they will find all the information they need about the challenge, and they can message me through that and arrange for me to come over.
Super. We will put the links to that on the Kent Business Radio website. Laura, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and we wish you much success in taking your challenge to all those businesses in Kent and wider afield, and get them fit and healthy.
Thank you. Great being on the show this afternoon.
Yeah, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon, hopefully.
Great.
Cheers now.
Bye-bye.
Paul, there is one other element that is really important for the listeners to know, and that is something I'm very excited about. It's a charitable side to this.
Oh, okay.
So for everybody that is losing weight or gaining weight, we will give back 30 meals to a child in need. And the reason I say I'm really excited about this is that recently I've been able to bring in a charity which is based up in London called the Black Prince Trust.
I know them, yes.
You do know them? Brian Dickens.
Fantastic
guy, and so passionate about what he's done. And actually, I've just put on Facebook a film that any of your listeners can have a look at. So if they look at Daniel's Fitness Group, my name, Anna Daniels, they'll find me on Facebook. Go on and have a look, because it's the Black Prince Trust. It's a YouTube clip, and it would tell them exactly where their money goes.
Right.
Now, I introduced them to the company Vi, and they are now using their charity as the recipient of anyone that succeeds on this Project 10
Fabulous.
Challenge. Now, that in itself is great, and it's lovely to be able to help a community in such a positive way. But I'm now looking to find a Kent charity.
Right, okay.
So if we could find something amongst all of your listeners and businesses that are listening in now that are based around children, we're talking about obesity and about malnutrition, two enormous problems. If anybody knows of a charity that's based in Kent that they think would fit that criteria where there are children involved, please message me, let me know, because it would be fantastic for us to actually be able to lose ourselves and help the children to gain by putting into a local charity.
Fabulous. So all those listeners, you're going to get inundated with this, because there's
quite
a few of them out there.
All
those listeners, that's you, Steve, at GDS, and you, Sally, at KDCS, and all you other guys, and Heather Harvey, and Sarah Selby Bird, and all you people that are running children's charities in Kent. You need to get a hold of Anna. So you heard it here. So if you want to get a hold of Anna, you can find her through her Facebook page, or if you have any difficulties at all, contact me and I will put you directly in touch.
Fantastic. Cool.
Anna, thank you so much for that. As always, we're running out of time. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show and on the Business Bunker show. Give us another last shout out for your websites, Facebook pages and Twitter handles and all that kind of nonsense.
Okay, we are just about to update our website. So look, today you're looking at our old one. Look, next week it will be the new one. But the address is www.danielsfitnessgroup.co.uk. And if you're interested in the challenge and me coming to visit you within your office, then contact me on annadaniels1.myvi.net.
Fabulous. All those links are on the Business Bunker website already. We will make sure they're there. If you have any trouble getting hold of Anna, just contact me and I will put you in touch. Anna, for the moment, thank you so much. And we are going to invite you back later to find out how this has gone. And again, any of you out there with a charity involved specifically with children and stuff like that and health and fitness, there's an opportunity here for you. So do get in touch with Anna and see if you can work together. That will be brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Brilliant. I think we'll have an email now, Jules, if we may, because we haven't done any so far, and we've got another fabulous guest to talk to any moment now.
Can you imagine? We've crammed six guests.
I know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Hi, Jules.
And you haven't panicked at all, and I know what you're like, really.
I'm not the panicking type, but
oh, is it not you?
No, it's you that panics.
Oh, is it? Yes. It's me. Oh, yes. Right.
It's been commented on, don't worry.
Yeah, but by you.
and a listener. Hi, Jules and Paul. In the right order. So this is a Whitstable workshop that's coming up, and it's from Brenda Cameron, who's a life reconstructor. And she says, the free goals setting workshop is on at the Horse Bridge on the 9th of March. And there are three free places. I can't say that. I never have.
Three free places. It's free places on
three,
there.
Three free. Why couldn't there be four? It'd be much easier. So if anybody would like to come along.
Four free free is a football formation. I bet you can't say 4-4-3 football formation.
You're interrupting me.
Sorry.
They can contact me.
Whose teeth you got today?
I don't know. The horses. I told you I was getting long in the tooth.
Yeah.
That's why they're poppy seeds. Brenda@brendacameron.co.uk is her email. Her website is www.brendacameron.co.uk. She's also on Facebook, and also she's got a blog. So this is on the 9th of March. It's a Sunday, I believe, at the Whitstable Horse Bridge Centre. and it's about understanding the goal settings, using them as a motivational technique, and learning more about the power of written, challenging goal setting and the science behind it. And also, you will leave with a set of clear goals and deadlines, plus some strategies for achieving your goals. That sounds really good, and it's free, so there you go.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet from T. Wells Retail, and they say, you can win a wedding by going to the, it's a Twitter handle, Mercure Tunbridge, and that's Mercure, as in the hotel, T-U-N-B-R-I-D-G, or their Facebook page by searching for Mercure Tunbridge Wells. The deadline is this Friday, and they say ding dong. And in the same vein, Gabrielle Argent has said, hello, I have a wedding fair on Sunday the 3rd of March. Well, Sunday the 3rd, doesn't say what month, and the 3rd's a Monday, so I'm not sure about that.
No.
Sunday the 3rd of 1 month. and that's at the Mercure Tunbridge Wells as well. And that's actually in Pembury, the Mercure Tunbridge Wells, just to make things difficult. And it's from 10 a.m. to 3, and there's free bubbly available. If you want to actually find out the proper details about that, follow Gabby Stapleton on the Twitter. Thank you.
The Institute of Directors has entered a new partnership with Adams Creative, and they're delighted to announce this, says Managing Director Bronwyn Williamson. And you can find out all about that on their website, which is www.adamscreative.co.uk. Well done, everyone.
Cool. Last shout out, and then we're going to come to our next guest.
Yes.
Thanet Photos on the Twitter, that's Thanet Photos, have said, any chance of a shout out for us? We can offer a full day's product, food, fashion photography shoot from £100.
That's
so there you
very
go.
Reasonable.
Can't be bad, can it?
Nope.
So that's Thanet Photos on the Twitter if you'd like to give them a follow. Now, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show Mr. Andy Clark. Now, I was sat at home one Saturday morning, working away on my computer, listening to my own radio station, and I just was flicking about doing stuff, and I came across the Graham Norton Show on BBC Radio 2. And I do like a bit of Graham Norton.
Yeah.
And there was a bloke on there called Mr. Andy Clark. And I thought, that's interesting. And then he said, I live in Tenterton. And I thought, I live in Tenterton too, and I don't know you, and that's not good enough. So I'm having him on a proper radio show, not that Radio 2 nonsense.
Yeah.
And so here he is, Mr. Andy Clark. Andy, welcome to the Business Bunker Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. As I said, you're famous, obviously, for your appearances on Radio 2 and whatnot. But you run Wealden Coffins.
Yeah, hi Paul, thanks very much for having me on Business Bunker. Yeah, as you said, I run a company with my partner Holly called Wealden Coffins. We're a business startup, and we produce, design, manufacture a new design of solid wood coffin, which we're making actually in Tenterden at the moment. Mm. It's completely unique as far as we're aware. Done quite extensive searches online and can't find anything anywhere like it anywhere else in the universe, let alone in the UK. You know, it's something that we love doing. We hand paint them, we hand make them, we hand paint them, and very much they're made with care and love, and designed to bring a softer, less austere approach to funerals and help people really celebrate the life of their loved ones in their final farewells.
Cool. I mean, and if I'm right, because your Twitter handle kind of refers to this, you call them the curve?
Yeah, that's right. So the curve really relates to the shape of the coffin. So it's based on a 2 foot circle, which has been squashed. So it's got a flat base. So that's the profile of
right.
of the coffin. It's like a squashed Smarty tube, if you like.
Yeah, no, so, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got a flat base, which obviously is a requirement of the funeral trade. You don't want them rolling about. And then the rest of it is circular. So it's flat base, and then it's got tight curve bits at the bottom, and then curves all the way around, soft rope handles on the side. And it's constructed using a mixture of a plywood inner framework and then softwood cladding on the outside. So it's all sustainable materials. Very eco-friendly, held together with just glue and a few little nails to hold it in place.
So they can get out if they want.
Yeah, well, we do screw the lids down. So,
do you give them a screwdriver, though?
No, that's not part of the kit, I'm afraid. No.
So what was the inspiration for this?
Well, do you know what? That's an interesting question. Something I was talking to Anna about over coffee, actually. Mm. I used to work up in London, actually, within investment marketing. So my career history is very different to what I'm doing at the moment. Always been very interested in carpentry and woodwork and design and creativity. Mm. And it's certainly not anything that I've been doing. I've had no links to the funeral trade or the funeral industry at all before my involvement in Wood and Coffins. But I think it was a news feed that I saw on the BBC that was showing kind of a unique designs of coffin. And these were very bespoke, handmade things. So things like airplanes and cars and that kind of stuff that had been made to order. And it just got me thinking as to what other kinds of coffin were available. Mm. So I did a little bit of research in company time. I won't name the company because I'm sure they'll be after me. But I did a bit of research and realised that the majority of coffins that we use today is still based on the design that's been with us for hundreds of years.
Mm. Sure.
The very austere, you know, Halloween shaped coffin. Mm. And it just made me think, well, you know, why hasn't it changed? Why aren't there any alternatives? Mm. And there's been innovation over the last few years, and we're now seeing a greater use of woven coffins, mm. so willow and wicker,
bamboo absolutely.
Plant, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of that. I think they're lovely, they're very much softer, and they're trying to achieve the same kind of thing as we're trying to achieve. But when you look at solid wood coffins, something that's a little bit more robust, your choices are very, very limited. Mm. You've either got your big American caskets that weigh a ton and cost a fortune, mm. or you've got your traditional shaped coffin, the majority of which are actually made out of chipboard with a plastic veneer on the outside, something that very few people know.
Realize,
So, you know, they're made out the same thing as your kitchen cabinets, or right. the majority of kitchen cabinets that you buy from your DIY store.
Yeah, something dead in mine as well.
Yeah. So
it was a mouse.
So I kind of got my creative juices flowing, and I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna put some drawings together and sketches and see what I can come up with. Wow. And came up with this design. I built my first prototype on my kitchen table. Yeah.
That went down a storm.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. We didn't do any cooking for a couple of weeks.
I could go all kinds of places with that, but I think we'll just gloss over that.
And then, you know, did my search on the IPO to see if there was anything similar or suitable, and there just wasn't. So right. you know, I've registered the design, and as far as I'm aware, it's a unique product that's available only through Wood and Coffins.
Fabulous. So when did you actually launch the business? When did you actually think, right, we're going to go for this, we're going to make this happen?
Okay, so the company's been established for about 2 years, but really from actually making them and promoting them and selling them, about 18 months, I would say. Yeah. Okay. At the moment, we're still in kind of startup mode. It's very much a cottage industry. Mm. I do a lot of the building, and my girlfriend Holly, and business partner, she does the painting.
Because you have these decorated, you can decorate them.
We sell them in three different finishes: either natural wood, which looks very beautiful, I must admit. I think that's probably my favourite.
Right.
Or just a single colour. So we'll just paint them with paints. Or then, as I said, my girlfriend Holly is an artist, and we have a number of different designs that we hand paint on them as well. And those have been very popular amongst our clients. Mm.
No, absolutely. So 18 months you've been going along. How's it going?
It's going well. Do you know what? It's a very, very difficult market to break into. As you can imagine, it's not easy to identify who your customers are going to be.
Yeah.
You know,
you walk about going, he looks unwell. I'm going to follow him home.
I do walk around with a tape measure in my back pocket. but, you know, it's one of those things. The industry, obviously, at some stage – at some stage, all of us are going to require one of these things, but identifying when is a very difficult thing. The majority of funerals are still managed and run through funeral directors. But there's a growing number of people that are looking outside the traditional route. So they're using celebrants or even some people are just doing it themselves, actually not involving, having a much more personal approach.
Just going out in a canoe and dropping it over the side.
I was going to say under the patio, but I think we're on the wrong thing there.
Not quite sure if I can advocate that. I didn't think about the legalities of that in this country. We're not quite there. But you can obviously have your choice of religious burials or a-religious burials. And then we've got our new natural burial sites that are coming into vogue and are being a lot more prominent. But I think, there is definitely a growing trend of people that actually want something a bit more personal and a moving away from using the traditional funeral director route. Still the most popular, still the most popular way of having a funeral or saying goodbye to one of your loved ones is to involve a funeral director. Because I think at the end of the day, when you're in that situation and one of your loved ones dies, you think, well, what do I do? And in fact, very people realize what their choices are, what their options are, and what is available to them.
The trouble is with that kind of thing, it's not a time when people get creative, is it? The emotions of it all, it's all, I don't want to be doing this at all.
And you're spending a lot of money, and it's very important, hugely important, but it's, generally over $3,500 for a funeral.
The average price for a funeral in the UK now, I think, is it's topping $5,000. Actually, it's over
that. And that's without the wake and everything else.
Exactly. And a lot of that, obviously, is the funeral director fees. There are other fees involved as well, either the burial site or the crematorium, whichever you're using. But a lot of that will be funeral director fees. And so there is a way of saving money as well as having a much more personal service.
Just looking at it purely from a business point of view, because after all that is part of what you're doing here. The message that I'm getting here is that on the whole, funeral directors don't use another kinds of product. Is this because it's normally something they source themselves?
Yeah, there's two aspects into play here. One is a lot of the funeral directors in the country are actually owned and managed by larger groups. And they will have business relationships with existing suppliers. So there are some coffin manufacturers in the UK, which are big manufacturers, they have a range of different products. They're able to meet large supply and large demand. And so they are very active in courting relationships with big funeral director groups. Okay, so that's one thing that comes into play. The second thing that comes into play is that actually there is a lot of money to be made in the sale of coffins. And one of the reasons while the traditional chipboard and plastic veneer coffin is the most popular kind of coffin is because they can buy them very, very cheap and they can pass them on as quite an expensive product and make a large margin on it. So if all the time the funeral director is doing that, then, there's a large incentive for them to do it. And I don't know why. I mean, the funeral industry is a completely unregulated industry in the UK. And a lot of funeral directors feel the necessity to hide some of their professional costs and the fees that are completely legitimate, but in the cost of the coffin. So rather than actually saying, well, it's going to cost you this much for a hearse and this much for the personnel. And of course, we're running a business and we've got premises to maintain and we've got all the other stuff that we're doing, they have a set fee and then they'll actually make additional money through the sale of coffins.
I suppose thinking about that, that's really because you can't not have a coffin. You might go, oh, well, I don't want the horse-drawn hearse. But you can't go, no, can you just chuck him in a plastic bag?
that is possibly partly
illegal.
But why, you know, why be opaque about it?
No, absolutely. No, I totally agree. I'm just trying to kind of put my my head into why they do that.
But having used a professional and a small sort of family business, I found, I'm being devil's advocate here, but I found that they were fantastic. And for me, the whole pomp and circumstance and the dignity of the way they did it was meant a huge amount, and they sort of took a lot of pressure off. But I think they're a small family run business, whereas you're talking about the bigger run guys, aren't you?
Well, you know, there's, like any business, there's different types of people providing different types of service, and I don't have anything against funeral directors, you know, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to choice, you know, and if that's what you want to do, and the majority of the people in this country still use a funeral director, then that's absolutely fine. They, you know, they do provide a very good service at a time when people just don't want to get
raw.
Yeah, they don't want to get involved. Anyway, where I was coming to is actually all of the sales that we have made of our coffins have been direct to individuals that have either been buying coffins for their own use. So they're suffering.
Oh, right, ready.
Yeah, they're suffering. Well, the majority of them have been suffering from some kind of terminal illness.
Okay.
So they know they're going to die imminently. Mm. Or it's a very, very close member of the family, and they just know that they want something very, very personal.
Because I was thinking for children it would be lovely, with, you know, painted. You could really personalise it for a girl, for a boy, you know, and that would be really special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in fact, we have got... in fact, I mean, it's a very sad subject, but you know, we do have what we call the curved bambini, which is a baby's coffin, actually. And do you know what? It is a very beautiful product. It's very emotional and very evocative, and can be decorated in however the parents want it for their children.
Cool. I don't want to be a killjoy here, but we're fast running out of time with only a few minutes left.
I've got a question, from Chris Pollard.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, had loads and loads of Twitter feedback on this, and also we've had some Twitter feedback for Anna as well. So I just want to mention that before we go away. Anna, an organisation called the Kent Parent Carers Forum are very interested in talking to you, so I will put you guys together.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from them.
We'll put you together with that. And apart from Chris Pollard making various jokes about coffins in various tweets,
does Andrew find himself coffin because of the dust when making a coffin?
Yeah, and is it an underground business? And very funny, Chris. Thank you. But somebody apart from Chris has actually asked some sensible questions. And Adrian of AK Pet Services said, do you do pet coffins?
We haven't specifically made any.
Do you do an octopus one, for example?
I think that's on the design schedule. Yeah, that's a product development to come. Yeah.
That's interesting, because Adrian's very involved in that kind of business. And it's interesting, I don't know what exists in that kind of field at all.
Well, seriously, we haven't made any pet coffins. We haven't been requested to, but, you know, there's no reason why the product can either be easily adapted for certain types of pets or something could be produced,
I just want to read out the website because we're running short of time.
Yeah,
it's 3ws.wealdoncoffins.co.uk, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Wealdon Coffins.
Yeah, we do also have quite a proactive Facebook page as well, where we're posting up new photographs of new designs and new coffins that we're painting all the time as well.
So fabulous.
It's fairly easy to find, just Wealdon Coffins.
So I'm cool. I'm getting an idea that people would come to you for more or less a bespoke arrangement, really.
Yeah, and you know, we've done a couple. We've got a set design, or a few set designs. One that's very popular is something that we call the Tree of Life, which is it's very beautiful arboreal kind of picture, but with the hearts instead of leaves. We adapted that for one client who wanted apples instead of leaves, and then we've been approached by people who have said, you know, we really like this, but we'd like you to design that, and we'd like this painted on it. And then
Also, we've done a couple where actually people have approached us and said, well, what we'd like is we'd like the coffin, but we'd like it vanilla so that we can decorate it ourselves.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's really helped in the grieving process for them. It's been very cathartic to actually get involved and, you know, actually have got some photos up on the website account at the moment of one coffin that was, it was for a man, in, a middle-aged man, or a young man, actually, probably in his middle 30s. And his children actually got involved in decorating the coffin and painted all sorts of it. And it's very beautiful. Yeah. It's a very touching memorial, you know.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, and that just adds something to the whole thing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's really beautiful to see that as well, you know, to get that feedback from people.
Mm. Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
My absolute pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and we wish you much success with your new business. It's something that is groundbreaking, different, and local, and it's already caused a storm.
On Twitter.
Some of it in typical Twitter bad joke form.
Yes.
Obviously.
Mostly Chris Pollard.
Thank you, Pollard. and people like that. But I'm sure you can follow up with all of that later on, but because there has been some sensible conversation about it as well.
We'll be looking to follow Mr. Pollard.
Literally.
Exactly. I'll be measuring him up.
Yeah. He looks a bit peaky as well to me, so I would. Andy, for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on there. If you want to find out about Andy's products, the link to his website is on the Kent Business Radio website, and you can find that, and that will stay there for the foreseeable future. But for the moment, thank you so much, and I'll race you back to Tenston.
Thank you.
Cool. We're almost at the end of the show. We haven't done many emails and tweets this week because we just had such a packed show. We will cover all of those, all the things we've missed next week, so don't worry about that. I've got one that's a bit time sensitive that I want to tell you about, which is the next Kent Business Tweet Up, which is this Thursday, the 27th of February at Lindley's Terrazzo restaurant on the first floor, and that's in Roper Road, Canterbury. There's no costs or conditions, just meet and connect with new business contacts over a coffee or choose from the tempting menu, and there's plenty of free on-site parking. So that's Roper Road, Canterbury, this Thursday, 10 a.m, I believe, and you can find out all about it by going to the website, which is kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
And there's a presentation, Paul Andrews, by Richard Tobel, the photographer.
Oh, fabulous.
This Thursday.
So go along to that,
yes.
Hear from Richard, meet the great folks at the Kent Business Suite up at Lindley's Roper Road, Canterbury. We've had dozens of tweets, and I really can't catch up with all of them now. Those that are asking for a shout-out, we will give you a shout-out next week, and we'll also retweet them. But there's loads of things happening. I'm just trying to see if there's anything that specifically needs reading out today. I don't think so. But if you follow me, if you want to know what's going on, follow me, Vanilla Web, on Twitter, and you'll find out everything that's going on. But apart from that, I think we're almost at the end of the show. It just leaves me to say a massive, massive thank you to our huge lineup of guests today. Starting off with the folks talking about the Marsh Million, Mr. Mark Dance, Kent County Council Cabinet Member for Economic Regeneration in Kent. Half Morris from the Magnox organisation, who have done so much to put money back into the local community down here on Romney Marsh. And not only money, but resources and mentoring and all kinds of fabulous things they've been doing whilst decommissioning Dungeness 8, a nuclear power station. John from Domination Paintball, who was one of the early recipients of a interest-free loan from KCC to kickstart their business, which happens to be based here at Hagelands Farm. That's Domination Paintball, if you want to find out more about them. We also heard from Anna Daniels of Daniels Fitness and her colleague Lara Zimmern at VI, and the challenge that they've thrown out to you businesses in Kent and further afield to get your staff fit and healthy and up and running, and also their desire to tie in with a charity, which is fabulous. And we've had quite a lot of feedback on the Twitter about that. So do follow up with Anna on that. If you can't get hold of Anna, if you don't find any of the links, or you can't find her on Facebook, which is, you know, it's pretty easy to do. But if you can't, you can always contact me, Vanilla Web, on the Twitter, and I will put you in touch with Anna. So thank you for that, Anna. And then brilliantly, we heard from Andy Clark with his new business, Wealden Coffins and The Curve, and trying to bring something new to an industry that hasn't really changed an awful lot in quite a long time. So fabulous stuff, and it's all local, and that's the brilliant stuff about that. So thank you for listening to me and Jules on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. Coming up on Channel Radio at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cam with Extra Milk. We have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, at 5 o'clock, and then we have Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show, all that's great in up-and-coming new and unsigned music from 9 to 11. But we will be back with the Business Bunker Show next week with me and Jules. In the meantime, have a fabulous week, and we will talk to you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews.